morning. You've tuned in to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio, and I'm Jack Peterson. Across from me, as usual on a Thursday morning, is Mr. Jim Healy, Dr. Jim Healy. We never say that on the air. I should.
No, we never say it ever.
I'm sorry. Well, what's up, Doc? What are we doing this morning?
What's up, Doc? Uh-huh. Well, we've got weather. We've got folks in the studio, and we're going to have a wonderful hour talking about musical madness that will be on tonight at the Panada Theater. And we have some of the performers as well as the person behind it from the Waldorf School. So we can talk about all sorts of things. Do you want to introduce them so that they can join in our conversation as well, Jeff?
Sure, let's get them on, on the microphone right now. We have Cairn Rookie and Opal Kaslin, both of them students at the Sandpoint Waldorf School, both of them in eighth grade, if I have that correct.
Yes.
Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
And also here is Yvette McGowan, who is their instructor, teacher.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. It's
good
great
to have you all of you. And they're part of the Waldorf 8th grade musical madness tonight at the Panada Theater. So we'll talk more about that. What's the weather going to look like, Jack?
I tell you what, Jim. It is overcast and 30 degrees right now at the Sandpoint Airport, so just slightly below freezing, although if you're downtown, it looks like our thermometer says it's about 35 outside our back door here.
What to believe?
Yeah, I don't know.
Which one is the fake?
Well, it's that urban heat effect from this big city we live in that's causing the distortion, I think.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But today, how about this? High of 47 degrees.
And I forgot my sunscreen.
Uh-huh. Mostly sunny, foggy in the morning, and then mostly sunny, clearing up. Calm wind becoming south around 5 miles an hour. Tonight, low down to 31 and mostly clear, patchy fog.
Ah, patchy again.
That patchy fog clearing up. Sunny tomorrow, high of 53. And mostly clear on Friday night, the low only down to 35 degrees. Uh-oh. Somebody's got that on. Is that me?
Yeah, no, whatever. It was Mechanicsville, Virginia, and they were they're listening right now to us.
Envious of our weather, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm quite sure. Mechanicsville. Oh my goodness.
On Saturday, ready for this?
Okay, I'm bracing myself.
Okay, here's a digit I don't think you've heard in quite a while. 60 degrees is the high on Saturday. 60 degrees and sunny is the forecast, and on Sunday, sunny and 63 on Monday.
You should
sunny and 62.
You should see Opal. Obviously, she's not a skier. I mean, she was just clapping and excited.
Yeah.
What does that 60 degrees mean to you, Opal?
It's gonna be sunny, and I like the sun.
Ah.
It's not gonna be freezing anymore.
Are you a skier?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Oh, okay. So, when it's time to say goodbye to the snow, you say goodbye.
Yeah, and the snow has not been very good this year.
So. I've heard that. Karn, are you a skier?
Yes, very much so.
And are you sad to see a 6-0, a 60?
A little bit. It's going to be colder up on the mountain, but I don't want the snow to melt yet. We need more snow.
Okay, well, we need it for the snowpack and for the moisture and, from my point of view, the huckleberries.
Yes.
You know, come July, August. But I do have the weather, Jack, from Arlington, Virginia. First of all, I want to say hello to Chris and Kathy and John in Mechanicsville. They're the ones who dinged me, and I didn't turn off my phone. Chris is a dear cousin from Mishawaka, Indiana, visiting my sister and brother-in-law. But the reason why we do Arlington, Virginia is because through the miracle of technology, they have a little canister in their kitchen called Alexa. And they go, ooh, I heard that.
I'm trying to create an ambiance here.
and the canister is Alexa, and they say, Alexa, 88.5 KRFY. And from Arlington, Virginia, they can be tuning in, and we get the weather. The weather there is bright and sunny and 58 now, One-day high of 76 expected.
In March?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Okay. Dropping back into the 50s and 60s this coming week. I guess weather is awry everywhere.
Yeah. You mentioned the huckleberries you find are affected by the snowpack earlier in the year?
I don't. Okay. I'm not a biologist.
No.
Okay. But I feel that when there is a slower melt with a nice, you know, that the bushes, you know, they're just shaking off their winter stuff. And I anthropomorphize them. You know, I make them as if I were coming up and awake from a long winter sleep, and I'm going to push forth my little buds and then be purple gold come in July.
Yeah.
I just made all of that up.
Okay.
And I'm a doctor too. Don't forget that.
I know. I have 33 and sunny, high of 44 on the Gunflint Trail in northern Minnesota. So, well,
is that from your mom?
It is, yeah.
Oh, hello.
People all over.
Mom Peterson. Gosh, yeah. We're just giving the weather. Any place you want to do the weather from, Yvette?
California.
Oh, that. There's a lot.
It's too big of a state.
Yeah, too big of a state to do all of the weather from. So, did you watch the Academy Awards?
I didn't. Sorry. I know. We talked about it extensively. I like watching the Academy Awards. You know, I don't really have a broadcast television anymore. I wouldn't have even known how to tune in to the Academy Awards. Sorry.
There's dead silence on the air. I am just gobsmacked.
Yeah.
One of the things I do want to, I watched them. I loved the whole spectacle, and it was fun this year. But one of the things I want to recommend is a documentary that won Best Short Documentary. And it's called The Last Repair Shop. And it's about LA School District is one of the last school districts in the country that accepts worn instruments, used instruments, and they make them adaptable, and they distribute them to high school and students in need. And it's about the students impacted, and it's about how they do these wonderful things with the instrument, and the stories behind the people who do it. And it's only 39 minutes long, and you can watch it on YouTube. Just put in Last Repair Shop, and it's beautiful. It's such a touch. And at the Academy Awards, the movie opens, the documentary opens with a 12-year-old inner city girl and what the violin means to her. You know, her family has health issues, but this is the one thing that she can count on. And, and she was there and she walked down in this beautiful blue gown. I loved it. I was in tears.
Did they win?
Yes.
Oh, that was...
That's why it is. Yeah, on YouTube, The Last Repair Shop. You will not be disappointed. And if you are, you can call me here at the radio station, and I'm not going to pick up the phone.
I know. Okay. I probably will. All right, but I will relay it to... I will relay it. Who won Best Actor? Did our boy Paul?
No.
I knew it.
Cillian Murphy.
Yeah,
he won it. And
it was a good performance.
The surprise was the Best Actress. That was won by Emma Stone. Everybody thought Lily Gladstone would.
Yeah.
And I think what worked against Lily Gladstone is that she had a vehicle, Killers of the Flower Moon, that got zero awards. It didn't have legs. Whereas Poor Thing, that Emma Stone was in, won all sorts of technical awards and things like that.
Well, any other, were there any weird flubs, any gaffes, any, there were several years in a row there where I thought they were really just trying to juice the ratings by having bad things happen at the Academy Awards.
No, they had nothing but good things. And of course, the highlight of it was Ryan Gosling doing I'm Just Ken from Barbie.
Nice.
And by the way, I just saw Opal and Karn nod their heads. I've seen Barbie 6 times, and I love Barbie. And a seventh viewing is in my future, and then an eighth. But when he did the performance of I'm Just Ken, it was the highlight of the show.
Yeah.
I have a confession to make. I've actually never watched Barbie. I know everybody's looking at me like I'm a criminal.
I haven't either.
I'm not a criminal, I assure you that.
Sorry.
But, okay.
Nope, we're together. Yeah.
I did the whole Oppen Barbie thing.
Well, Barbenheimer.
Like Barbenheimer, yeah.
Back to back?
Yeah.
Same day?
Mm-hmm.
How'd you start?
With Barbie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that seems wrong. I think that...
Yeah, I think I should have done it the other way.
Yeah, okay.
I have nothing to say. I don't know if I feel, you know, my boundaries are going up, that if I feel comfortable being in the studio with Yvette. Did you see Barbie?
Of course.
Okay, good. At least we're a majority, Opal, Yvette, and I. We don't know about you two across the table, but I love the energy. I love the music. I love the choreography. I like, you know, I don't know what the message was in the movie, but I know that when I watched it, I was having a good time.
I will say, in my own defense, it's not that I don't want to see it. I want to see it, and in fact, it's probably number one on my list. We're trying to coordinate it so I can sit down and watch it with my significant other at the same time. And that's kind of difficult.
Not a James movie.
Exactly. We have to wait until we have...
Put James to bed.
James has to be in bed. We got enough time. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So that's our next
Paul,
movie.
I'm so glad you were energized by Barbie. There's hope for the next generation.
Yeah.
Okay. Why they are here? Let's get them talking on that, Jack.
Okay, all three of these folks are here from the Sandpoint Waldorf School as either instructors or students. The show that the eighth grade class is putting on is called Musical Madness. It's at the Panetta Theater tonight at 6:00. Doors open at 5:30, and we're here to talk about the show. I'm going to start with Yvette and. Can you tell us, let's start with the show before we go back and talk about more about the Waldorf experience. Tell us about the show. Where did it come from? Where did the idea for it come from?
Oh, you're going to love this.
Okay.
We actually started the year with the idea of doing a musical. And the musical I chose was Oklahoma. And lo and behold... There were many that did not want to do this performance of Oklahoma for a variety of reasons. I love Oklahoma. So I had a lot of strong-willed children and parents, and I felt like everything was working against me. But, you know, we somehow turned it around. I felt... at the time that I didn't know what I was going to do. I was just going to cancel the whole entire thing. But then we came up with this idea of taking some of the songs from Oklahoma, which we'd already choreographed, and to then add in other songs from a variety of musicals throughout the decade. And we came up with Musical Madness. And at first, I thought, because we didn't really start it until probably the beginning of January, maybe late December, beginning of January. And it felt like, okay, we got a lot of work to do before the middle of March. And as with any production, at least for myself, it feels like up until about a week ago, how are we ever going to get this off of the ground? But magic happens, and this week has been magical for the class, for myself, and we have come up with this production, and we're excited. What do you think?
I'm excited. I'm a little bit nervous, you know. Yesterday with the dress rehearsal, it was a little nerve-wracking getting out there, you know. I've done a small performance on the Panetta stage, but when you're out there and when you are soloing and doing all that stuff, it's nerve-wracking, but you just gotta know that it's all gonna be good, you know, no matter what you do, unless you mess it up terribly, it's gonna go good, you know, and you just have to have confidence in yourself. So
I'm super excited because yesterday we did dress rehearsal and it was super fun, and the crowd was super happy and they were really interactive, so I'm excited to do it again tonight.
So it's a world of difference between just rehearsing with no one in the theater and then all of a sudden with real live human beings there responding to what you're doing. Mm-hmm. That's got to be a wonderful feeling. You're only doing it once tonight, right? And then, I mean, shouldn't there be like a run?
Yeah.
I mean, because you learn by doing it. You know, like, ooh, I need to stand over here, or I'm blocking someone, you know, that sort of thing. And so everybody needs to go to the Panada tonight to catch Musical Madness. I'd be sort of interested, Yvette, in terms of, is it a tradition at Waldorf that the eighth grade class does a play?
Yes, it's actually a tradition in the Waldorf school that from grades 1 through 8, you do a play every year. And your eighth grade play is usually a much bigger production than the rest of the years. So it's something that they've been looking forward to, which was also why it felt a little bit devastating at the time that we weren't going to do the full play. But in hindsight, I would say this was the right choice for this class.
Now let's, okay, you're looking at plays in general. Okay, you looked at musicals. Did you ever any other serious drama, comedies, or anything like that?
Have we?
Yeah. In terms of the decision making factors that made Oklahoma loom large.
Yes. Well, if I'm going to be honest, when I was a middle school student, we didn't do the full production of Oklahoma, but in my choir class, we performed a lot of the songs from Oklahoma. Oh. So I had a real longing to kind of bring that back. And so it was my thing. And also, this class is very musical. They're great singers, and so I just thought, I'm going to do this. However, it was not to be, and I'm going with it. Last year, can I tell you a little bit about last year? Is they...
it was Rent.
No.
No?
Well, last year they were in seventh grade, so we did a production.
You're talking about... I thought when you meant last year, you meant the eighth grade class from last year.
Yeah, 2 years ago they did. They performed Rent.
What was it last year?
Last year it was A Christmas Carol. Is that correct?
Ah, okay. Yeah.
And I don't believe they performed it at the Panada.
Okay, that's why I have the gap.
Yes, okay. Yes. But there have been some other big productions. They did Les Miserables several years back, and Midsummer's Night Dream.
Fiddler on the Roof.
Mm, okay, yeah. All good ones.
I would say it's a very scary as a teacher to put on a production at the Panada Theater. I've never done it before, and now that we're somewhat over the hump, I feel like it was exactly what we needed to do. You know how when you have to take a risk for something and you feel like, I don't know if I can do this, I don't know if I can do this. But I feel like since we made that decision, people have come forward to help us. The technical, I had Sean Van Gundy step in just to figure out how to put all the technical, the analog and digital together. Sam Cornett came in and taught us how to use the microphones and set us all up with the mics, which is no small feat. And it's only since Tuesday that we even tried it with the microphones. And then I mention now our actual choreographer, director was Chica Orton, and who has been absolutely fabulous to work with. She is steadfast, and when we changed the production halfway through from Oklahoma to Musical Madness, I could see in her I don't know exactly how she felt, but I think she was a little disappointed at first, but she just moved forward with all that she had in her and helped us make this really happen for us.
Now, how many songs will be performed tonight? And from what musicals? Okay, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, West Side Story.
Ooh, what from West Side Story?
Oh, we're doing the prologue.
Okay.
The Jets and
the Sharks.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then I'm actually soloing Maria.
Okay.
And then there's also Tonight, which is a duet.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Tonight. Yeah.
It's a really
with Sierra Super Bueller.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What fun. Mm-hmm. And do you have costumes?
Yeah.
Okay, and what else? West Side Story, Oklahoma.
The Greatest Showman.
Ooh, which, what from there?
This Is Me and The Other Side.
Oh, wow. They just showed that at the Panada.
Yeah.
Great energy. I love that movie and the choreography. Okay, anything, any other plays?
Cats.
Memories?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, what from Hamilton? What's it
called? That Would Be Enough. Okay. With Eliza and Hamilton, right?
Mm-hmm. Cats.
Okay.
Oh, and Hairspray.
Oh, we said Cats.
Oh, what from Hairspray?
You Can't Stop the Beat.
It's the big finale, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Oh,
and I want to mention Shy.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people don't know Shy, but
it's from Once Upon a Mattress.
Okay, right, right.
Oh, and they're doing a dance from...
Oh, from White Christmas. We're doing The Best Things Happen While You're Dancing. We're doing the whole dance.
Oh, cool.
And this was taken up by a student, Evie Peterson, and she decided that she wanted to do this, so she grabbed Karen, and they worked themselves entirely on their own after school preparing this. We did nothing, and mm-hmm. then we just slipped it in. It's
excellent.
Great.
I'm in awe, Jack. Mm-hmm. At their age, could you have gotten up on a stage and worked your magic?
No. I was in the choir, and even the act of walking across the stage before I was able to hide in the choir, mm-hmm. you know, just getting onto the stage.
Don't let me trip.
Exactly.
Don't let me trip. Don't let me trip.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, no, could never. Could never have. Yeah, that was it. How about you?
I'm like you. I mm-hmm. you know, any attention drawn to me, anybody mm-hmm. looking at me mm-hmm. Would just make me wither.
Yes. It's nice to be here in the studio. And imagine no one's actually listening.
Well, and the other thing is nobody can see us.
Yes.
That's the nice thing about being on radio.
Yeah.
Nobody can see how mm-hmm. we're dressed, you and your mm-hmm. pinstripe. And
That's right.
Uh-huh. Me and my Barbie outfit. Uh-huh. Yeah. So tell me, how did you come up with, Yvette, with who sings what, who does what, make those decisions? Because how many students again?
15.
Boy, a lot of duplication, a lot of
yes.
movement, a lot of, mm-hmm. okay.
Well, for the Oklahoma pieces, we had already had parts for the play.
Ah,
so,
okay.
Those just went as they mm-hmm. were. And then with the rest of them, we actually tried to give them some choices. Would you like to do this? Would you like to do this? And of course, there are the students who are much more confident in singing and dancing. And then there are the ones who are like, please don't put me in. Please don't put me in this.
Boy, I can relate to that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, but it is part of our curriculum. So unfortunately, even if you don't want to be in a big production, you don't really have a choice. So you may do something smaller, and everybody seems to come along, even if they're digging in their heels. You kind of get caught up with all the
sure,
excitement.
All this activity. And, yes. You know, I'll work on the sets. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd be behind the scenes. Again, tonight at 6:00 at the Panada, I think the doors open at 5:00.
The doors open at 5:30, and... we are asking a $5 donation, and we are raising money for our class trip in May.
To?
Costa Rica!
Yeah!
Like, out of the country?
Yup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like a trip down to Boise or something.
Nope. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Who decided Costa Rica?
Us, kind of. You know, it was a class decision. We all were all like, we want to go to Costa Rica, and we all knew we had to work hard, and we're gonna have to work hard to get there. But we're working hard, so you know, we're gonna get there.
We have our flights. We're going May 8th to the 17th.
How many kids? How many students?
I have 15 in the class. There's actually one not going, so we have 14. We're taking 14 students.
Okay.
And
that's going to be a fun
flight. And you're going to be gone for how long again?
see, from the 8th to the 17th, so 9 days.
Wonderful. How exciting. And who books, you know, the activities? Is that something the class, like, ooh, we want to see birds, or we want to...
Yeah, we're actually going with Breakwater Expeditions.
Oh, cool. So that's all...
It's a local
company. Yeah,
yeah.
So this is where the money raised tonight goes towards the class trip.
Correct.
Where was your class trip up in northern Minnesota, Jack?
Did I have a class trip? I don't know that
I didn't either.
No.
Let's go to Costa Rica.
So, yeah, we're due.
It's kind of a Waldorf tradition, you know. We do trips throughout the grades. But the eighth grade trip is really the big one. It's kind of the sending off from Waldorf. Mm-hmm. We're just sending off from the grades, and it's a big thing, you know, for all of us to
going to
go
Costa
off,
Rica,
you know?
Is major.
Yeah,
I mean, what fun!
I went from Minneapolis to Chicago for a long weekend with the choir. That's
whoa.
It.
Whoa!
I know.
That's
whirlwind.
Nosebleed.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I don't even think we went up in the Sears Tower. I think we did. Yeah, or at the time it was the Sears Tower. Now it's something else. Hey, sorry, we're talking to Karen Rookie, Opal Kasland, and Yvette McGowan about Musical Madness at the Panetta Theater tonight. Doors open at 5:30. 6 o'clock is the show. We'll talk more about that in a minute.
But let's take a break, a music break. We're going to regroup here in the studio. What haven't we talked about, and what do you want to talk about? On this date in 1977, were you around in 77, Jack?
No, sir.
Okay, okay. Uh-huh. I guess I'm the only one who remembers back in Queen. Little Queen was an album put out by Heart.
Uh-huh.
Anne and Nancy Wilson from Seattle.
Yvette seems to have... This seems to be ringing a bell. No.
Okay. I'm not going to say the name of this song, but when you hear the opening guitar riff, you'll know what it is. And it comes from this album in 1977, which is how many years ago? Going on like 47 years ago. Yeah.
My mom was born in 1977, so I know that.
So we can send this out to your mom.
Sure, yeah.
Is she listening?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if she's listening or not.
Okay.
But if you're there, here we go.
Here we go. Do it, Jack.
Barracuda by Heart. That is side one, track one off of Little Queen, their third studio album from 1977, following up Magazine and Dreamboat Annie. Yeah. Incarnation of Heart with the more hard rock version of Heart, that they kind of softened their approach as the 80s went on. We're here in the studio. My name's Jack Peterson.
Before we go too far,
yes, sir.
You know, this was on this date in 1977.
Uh-huh.
And both of you knew immediately what this date is, March 14th. You want to reveal the big reveal?
Yes. Today, for those of you who are not aware, is Pi Day. It is 3/14. That's 3.14 in some annotations, and that is the first three digits of pi, as in P-I. Oftentimes, people eat pi, as in P-I-E, on this day in celebration and recognition of that important number.
But we have no pi in the studio.
Notably,
Jack,
we are pi-less here.
We're pi-less.
Uh-huh. I don't know what to do about that. I guess we're going to have to remember for next year and have two. I guess.
We didn't remember this year.
I know.
What's the guarantee? But let's talk more. Yvette, you remembered Pi Day.
Actually, I didn't really remember Pi Day. I sent a picture of some of my students underneath the marquee, which tells the date, to my friend in Australia, who is a former colleague of mine, and then she responded to me. She said, "On Pi Day," and so
then
that,
you.
Yes.
Then, speaking of Australia,
yes,
your friend could be listening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we even crossed the international date line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she could be listening. So, let's talk more about just an overview of Waldorf that these students have been with you since first grade.
They've actually been with me since second grade.
Okay.
They had a different teacher, two teachers actually, in first grade, and then they chose not to carry forward with the class, and I was just finishing up an eighth grade class and decided to move right in. And, you know, it's been quite a journey. You take them from this age when they're still young children.
Is that true, Opal? That she takes you from an age when you're a young child? Can you remember back that far?
Yeah, I think I can.
Kern?
Yeah. Well, in second grade, well, I've been with the Waldorf School. Opal and I have been with the Waldorf School since kindergarten. We've been in the same class since then.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we definitely remember back when Miss McGowan, we had the room upstairs in the Waldorf School. We had the big windows.
It was yellow. And,
yeah. It was a yellow room, I suppose so. And it's nice to have like that relationship with the teacher for so long, you know, like we just.
Okay.
And then of course, just like their parents, you begin to experience these changes that come about with every human being, and where you start getting a little bit more of that rebellion, and they're becoming.
No.
Yes, absolutely.
We're all little rebels around here.
I would never.
But you form this deep bond with each of these students. And in fact, when they leave, because of course, life happens. Some leave, you know, throughout the grades. And it is, sometimes it feels a little bit like losing a child because you really create this bond of love with them. And it's hard to see them go. And then I'm really beginning to feel this grieving place right now in saying goodbye to these eighth graders in just 3 months' time.
I'd like to ask you, as the teacher, knowing basically the core group you're going to have next year and the year after that and the year after that, how does that impact how you prepare your lessons? Mm-hmm. How does that impact, you know, when you walk into the classroom, oh, there's Opal. You know, I've had Opal for the last 4 years, and I know what I can count on Opal for or Karn for, you know, that you're familiar with them.
Yes, absolutely. And that is the gift of being with them. So you already know their challenges and their gifts, and that helps you in preparing lessons for the coming year. And every class is unique, of course. My last class was completely a whole different group of students. This group, they are incredibly strong-willed and confident. And not that my last group wasn't, but just so uniquely different. And which can be, I would say that this group has challenged me as a teacher and a human, and
you should see the looks on their faces.
Yeah, okay. Because they know.
Okay,
it's not us though. It's not us.
No.
Oh no, it's not a bad thing. You know, life gives you these lessons and challenges, and I am incredibly grateful now at this time that I stuck it through.
Yeah.
No. What? Okay. How about from the students' perspective? I know that when I went to grade school, I had the same students in my classes first through eighth grade. There's a few changes in there, so from your perspective, having, 15 essentially students, what is that knowing that each year you're coming back to the same teacher, the same group of fellow students?
Well, it's nice to know that you're not going to have to establish a new relationship with a different teacher. And it's nice to know that she knows like exactly what to give us in terms of education wise. And just, she just knows how well us so well that, we don't have to worry about, teaching another teacher about us.
Okay.
Because with each teacher, you know, they have to know you a little bit to be able to teach you well. But with Miss McGowan, she knows us very well, and so it's just
learning what the boundaries are, what behavior is acceptable, what behavior is not acceptable, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. That by having the same teacher, there's that consistency throughout, and not the newness. I'm thinking back. I had different teachers all my years. They were nuns.
Yes, I know. So you had different. You never had the same teacher twice. It was always.
No.
Yeah.
No, I had. You want to hear all eight names?
Let's hear it.
Okay, I had Sister Rosella in first, then Sister John Marie, Sister Floretta, Sister Gabriel, Sister Lucina, Sister Agnes, Sister Julia, and Sister Alma.
That's eight. You could have been making it up. But I believe you.
No, mm-hmm. no, I have been sufficiently scarred.
Yeah.
No, that's not true. The education I got was excellent.
Yeah.
I mean, fearful, but mm-hmm. excellent.
I think I had the elementary school I went to just really kind of had two. There was usually two second grade teachers, two third grade teachers, two fourth grade teachers. So it wasn't the exact same group of kids every year. But for those first 5 years, mm-hmm. by the time we were in third grade, you'd had at least 1 year with pretty much everybody else in the school. And so we all more or less knew each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And in the Waldorf School, it's not just me as their teacher. They have many teachers. They have foreign language teachers. They have a Spanish and Japanese. They have strings. They have music, handwork. I get everything.
Language arts.
Language arts.
Movement.
Movement.
Do you say woodwork?
Nope.
You can, Opal. Go ahead, say it.
Woodwork.
There we go. Okay. And the school year is winding down. What happens after eighth grade for both of you?
A lot of planning.
Okay.
And just getting ready for high school, you know.
Sandpoint High School?
Probably. There's other options, but that's probably one of the most likely options.
Okay. How about you, Opal?
I think I might end up going to charter because it's just a smaller school.
Okay.
And I don't want to go to a big school because people are scary.
That they can be scary.
No, they are scary.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well,
I believe there are like three different options right now for many of the students. It's the Sandpoint High School, the Charter High School, or this newer initiative, Nova High School, which is a Waldorf-inspired high school, which is just in its it's in its first year right now.
Oh, we should learn more about that. I think I'm not too familiar with Nova High School. Okay, it's nice to hear you guys are both continuing with your education, not going straight to the pros or anything like that. That's good.
Yeah,
that was a joke.
I got it.
Thank you.
I got it. But they could do name, image, and likeness (NIL), you know, and make scads of money. Well, mm-hmm. you're crinkling your forehead there. That is what they now do on the college level. If you're like Caitlin Clark from Iowa, mm-hmm. that incredible basketball player, she can get money for her name, image, and likeness. Like if she supports a local hot dog stand or something like that. And so, in other words, mm-hmm. some athletes get nil,
yeah.
name, image, uh-huh. likeness. And so,
yeah, you know? Without losing their amateur status.
After Musical Madness tonight, mm-hmm. Opal and Karn can get name, image, likeness.
Yes, according to the NCAA.
Yeah, according uh-huh. to the NCAA. So uh-huh. cash in on it. I mean, so this is tonight, uh-huh. 6 o'clock at the Panda Theater, Musical Madness, and a donation?
A donation of $5 is being asked at the door.
Going to?
Costa Rica.
Our eighth grade trip.
Yeah.
Who do you see as your ideal audience for this show? Who's listening right now? Yeah. Who listening right now would you like to have in attendance?
Our families.
Just the families?
And friends and anyone who likes musicals.
Pretty much anyone, as long as they're as long as they're into it and they're not just sitting there being bored, you know.
I would push it a little bit farther than this is a great opportunity to support young people. Mm-hmm. And that this is a great opportunity for the community to rally around students who are self-aware enough to walk on a stage singing and dancing that I know even at my age right now, I would have second thoughts. But, you know, this is a great opportunity to go out and a night on the town and see what the youth is doing and see what youth looks like. You know what I mean? I think that's very important because somehow, I don't know about you, Jack, but you know, James is still a wee tad. Mm-hmm. But I don't come in contact with 16-year-olds.
14.
Oh, my gosh. 14-year-olds. You know, and I think it's wonderful, you know, that this is an opportunity to expose yourself and to hear great performances, music, dancing, and to see what's happening in our community.
I agree. And I also want to tell you that after tonight's performance, we don't get to just relax, right? What's next?
Eighth grade projects.
Like packing for Costa Rica?
No.
Like, oh, what do
eighth
I
grade,
take?
Eighth grade projects. Is...
Eighth grade project presentations.
Yeah. Mm.
Ooh, tell me more.
Well, the eighth grade projects, we do it in eighth grade, is we all choose a subject to study.
Okay.
Like, I chose to study cinematography, and then we have, like, a physical representation, we have a written paper, we have all this stuff, and basically it's just something to study. It's like an option for a career, it's an option for a job, it's like, it's just something that you're interested in and that you want to learn more about, and you study it throughout pretty much the whole year.
And Opal?
Yeah, and that's right. I'm a little scared for the presentation, because talking in front of people, like having a whole entire speech without someone else, like talking with lines, it's going to be interesting.
Well, Karin does cinematography. What's yours?
Oh, I'm making a knife.
A knife?
Yeah.
Cool. Excellent. Excellent.
I couldn't make a knife.
I'm lucky I can use one.
Yeah.
Yep, so they've all chosen something different and unique. There's photography. There is leather work. There is, oh gosh, I'm trying.
Playing guitar, interior design, fly fishing.
Yes, and they each have chosen a mentor to help them throughout this whole process.
Excellent.
And then next week on the 21st at the Gardenia Center, they will be presenting their eighth grade project to their families and friends.
So that's the hurdle or the hump to get you to the airport to Costa Rica.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. We're sort of winding down. Any pre-play rituals? You know, like, you know, we say here, break a leg. You know, when you're going on the stage, that's like good luck.
I don't know, but I don't really think we have any, like, really, like, traditions or anything to do before a play.
Okay.
We might eat pie.
Yeah.
Yeah, ooh. We can eat pie.
Ooh, we'll be right over, won't we?
Yes.
What kind, Jack?
Blueberry.
Blueberry? Okay. Mine's lemon meringue.
Oh, that's not bad.
I like that. But tonight at the Panada, Musical Madness. And 6 o'clock by donation. Doors open at 5:30. 5:30?
Is that right? Or maybe I said
think so.
Maybe 5:15.
Somewhere just around there. To show up at the Panada.
Yeah, show up at the Panada.
The weather's going to be fine. Wait till the doors open.
Yeah. You can hang around outside. Wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. Can I just give a couple thank yous?
Oh, please do.
Yeah. Again, I want to mention Chico Orton, who has been our director and choreographer for this production. Oh, my goodness. Sam Cornett, who has been our technical director. Michael Wofsey, who stepped in 2 days ago to do the lighting for us. He's also a parent in our class. Leslie Hart is our backstage director. And Neil has just stepped in the last 2 days to help volunteer backstage. And Sean Van Gundy, who saved me with coming to figure out how to set up the technical part of the...
It's a group effort.
It is a group effort.
Wonderful. Have a ball tonight and enjoy.
Yeah, we will.
Thank you.
You bet. Thanks so much for coming on. While we're talking about the Panada, on Sunday, a movie called, a St. Patrick's Day movie called The Commitments. It's a 1991 film about in Dublin, a group of youth who want to form a band and they want to do soul music from the 50s and 60s. And here is a song from the soundtrack that you can... enjoy and come to the Panada at a matinee at 2 and an evening performance at 7. Here is a song done by originally Wilson Pickett, In the Midnight Hour.